Hello and welcome to the Twin Political Podcast. I am Owen Rustici. My brother is not able to make it to this episode, so it will only be me. On Wednesday, the House voted bipartisanly to impeach Donald Trump for a second time, making him the only president in American history to be impeached twice. He was impeached with 10 Republicans and all Democrats in the House of Representatives voting yay on the impeachment. Liz Cheney, a prominent woman in the Republican leadership, voted to impeach him. She's from the state of Wyoming, and Wyoming has one congressional district. Donald Trump won the state of Wyoming in 2020 by 70%. With 70%. My apologies. So that was a bold move by Liz Cheney, and she's now facing a lot of scrutiny for that move. A lot of her Republican colleagues, including Matt Gaetz of Florida and Jim Jordan of Ohio, have criticized her for that. She is facing lashback from some Republican senators, even not even in her body of Congress. When the House voted to impeach, 10 Republicans voted in the Democrats' side of the aisle. Jim Jordan, the representative from Ohio that I just mentioned earlier, said, "Why are they trying to impeach the jobs president?" Another representative from the state of Georgia mentioned the fact that Democrats were trying to take away their guns. The Republican Party is obviously, in my view, deflecting from the fact that their commander-in-chief and their leader incited a riot on the Capitol building, attended by neo-Nazis and white supremacists, who are now being arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. The FBI has said that you should turn yourself in instead of wondering when the FBI will knock on the door, on your door, because they will. So the FBI is 100% confident that anyone that was in the Capitol building and breaking the law at that riot will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But there's one name in there that has yet to be mentioned: Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the reason, clear reason, that glass was broken within the Capitol building, that AOC says some representatives were this close to being assassinated, including the Vice President of the United States. Vice President Mike Pence was moved to a secure location when the rioters came into the Capitol building, so he was safe, but outside, many of the rioters were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," while there was a noose on the Capitol steps. Clearly shows the fact that our leaders were this close to being killed at that riot. incited by domestic terrorists and attended by domestic terrorists. The vice president, even though he was threatened to be killed, wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House saying that he will not invoke the 25th Amendment. That led the Speaker to put forward the articles of impeachment on Monday that were voted on Wednesday, making this the fastest impeachment process in American history, and the only impeachment that has taken place, the only impeachment that has taken place after an impeachment, what I'm trying to say is he's been impeached twice. Republicans in Congress, when it comes to the Senate, that congressional body, are mostly split. But Lisa Murkowski said in a Anchorage newspaper that she's questioning her party affiliation and might turn to be an independent or even a Democrat, her being a maverick of the Senate. She also went on to say that she wants Donald Trump out, meaning I assume that she will vote to convict. So Democrats will be voting, and Republicans in the Senate will be voting on conviction after Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff are sworn in, making the Senate split 50-50. They would need 17 senators at that point to convict, but there's a separate vote that would take place that needs a simple majority, and that is if he should ever be allowed to run for public office. So you get a simple majority for that vote. And Lisa Murkowski is obviously Democrats hope that she will be the one that pushes them to the 51 mark. But even if everyone votes along partisan lines, Kamala Harris, I believe, would be the tiebreaker, tipping the balance in the Democrats' favor. But I think Republicans should be the one most advocating for Donald Trump to not be able to run for public office again, because there's no public office that Donald Trump has his eyes on quite as much as the presidency of the United States in 2024. And let me just say this with 100% confidence. If Donald Trump is nominated as the Republican candidate, he will not win a general election against, say, a Joe Biden if he decides to run for re-election. He will definitely not win against a Andrew Cuomo if he decides to run for a primary, or Kamala Harris if she decides to take the torch from Joe Biden. I think that's never been more apparent than right now. While the National Guard and the Secret Service are planning to put a green dome around a lot of the city of DC and a red zone around a little fewer parts of the DC metro area to keep Vice President-elect Biden safe. That's incredible. The fact that we are trying to keep a president-elect safe from possible assassination when he is just being sworn in by on January 20th, Wednesday. That's remarkable. The 10 representatives that voted for impeachment, let me pull those up for you, who voted for impeachment. are the, let's see, these are the 10 Republicans, according to NPR, that voted. Representative Liz Cheney, Wyoming's at-large district, Trump won Wyoming by 70%, as I mentioned, to 27%, and she is the third-ranking leader of in the House, third-ranking leader in the House. So for her, not just to vote in favor of impeachment, but also issue a stinging rebuke is quite the step. Cheney was unequivocal in her statement, saying Trump summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. She called what Trump did the greatest betrayal of a U.S. president ever. Representative Tim Rice from South Carolina's 7th Congressional District. This is one no one saw coming. The congressman who has served since 2013 comes from a pretty pro-Trump district. Trump won it with 59% to 40%, and there was no indication he would do so beforehand. Even during his vote, Twitter was alight with speculation that Rice had cast the wrong vote. Turns out he cast it exactly as he wanted to. Later Wednesday, Rice explained, "I have backed the president through thick and thin for 4 years. I campaigned for him and voted for him twice. But the utter failure is inexcusable." He tweeted, Representative Dan Newhouse from Washington's 4th District. Trump won this central Washington state district by a handy margin, 58% to 40%. But for Newhouse, who has served since 2015 and has not been a prominent member, it was clear. The mob was inflamed by the language and misinformation by the President of the United States. A vote against impeachment is a vote to validate unacceptable violence and to condemn President Trump's inaction. Adam Kissinger's Illinois 17th district, Kissinger's decision was probably the least surprising on the list. Despite coming from a district Trump won by 57 to 41%, the Air Force veteran has been an outspoken critic against President Trump's behavior. He said Trump incited the insurrection, and if these actions, the Article 1 branch inciting a deadly insurrection against the Article 1 branch, the Article 2 branch against the Article 1 branch, are not worthy of impeachment, then what is an impeachable offense? Senator Anthony Gonzalez, sorry if I pronounced that name wrong, Ohio's 16th Congressional District, a former NFL wide receiver, is in his second term in Congress. Trump won his district by 15 points, but Gonzalez was unequivocal. Trump, he said, helped organize and incite a mob that attacked the United States Congress in an attempt to prevent us from completing our solemn duties as presiding over the Senate and confirming President-elect Biden's victory. Representative Fred Upton from Michigan's 6th District. Upton has been in office since 1987. He comes from a district that is more moderate. Trump won it by just 51%, with just 51%. Upton has a good relationship with Democrats, including President-elect Joe Biden, and even has hashtag wear your mask in his Twitter bio. It's concerning that that's even impressive at this point in his Twitter bio. Upton said he would have preferred a bipartisan censure that would not interfere with the business of the next administration, but he said it is time to say enough is enough. He also cited Trump's efforts to impede the peaceful transition of power from one president to the next. I'm just going to go through these names. Representative Jamie Herrero Boothler from Washington's 3rd. Representative Peter Meijer from Michigan's 3rd. Representative John Katko from New York's 24th. Representative David Valado from California's 21st. But in other news, one of Donald Trump's most firm supporters in the Senate, Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, is an undecided vote on the conviction of the President of the United States. He voted last time to acquit him, with only one Republican reaching across the aisle, Mitt Romney of the state of Utah, voting to convict him. Now it is said that he is an undecided Republican. It is very possible that Democrats could take the 17 seats that they need to convict him, because Ben Sasse, a former ally to the president, spoke out vigorously against the objection efforts by some senators like Ted Cruz and like Josh Hawley from Texas and from. And now he's considering voting to convict the president on the charge of inciting an insurrection. In some alarming news, vaccine rollout is way behind schedule. Like we told you before, the goal was that you would have 20 million people vaccinated by the end of the year in 2020. We're now on the 15th day, 15th day of 2021, and we're at 12 million people vaccinated. Operation Warp Speed, the operation made by Donald Trump, is significantly failing on their goals, and they need to catch up quick if we are going to see a return to normalcy anytime soon. But Ron DeSantis of the state of Florida is having a weird vaccination order that could be for political purpose. He is vaccinating, the elderly before the frontline workers. That's interesting. I think the idea behind that is that he needs votes for Florida to win the governorship again. Frontline workers, I am assuming, are overwhelmingly Democratic, because of the fact that Democrats actually took the virus seriously before Republicans. And to any Republican who says that he did take the virus seriously, let me just take a second to read out some quotes. These quotes are extremely alarming on COVID. The timeline of the coronavirus. Response. Trump quotes on the coronavirus. This is according, again, to NPR. On December 31st, 2019, they found a pneumonia of unknown cause in Wuhan, China. So Donald Trump said, we have it on January 22nd in uh, 2020. Look, I'll cut him some slack there because it was one U.S. case and zero deaths. And he said, we have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China. And we have it under control. It's going to be just fine. And then on the 24th, when there were two U.S. cases, China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. I've had Republicans point out to me the fact that he's tough on China. Really? Does that sound like tough on China to you? It doesn't to me. He said this on January 30th. We only have five people. Hopefully everything's going to be great. They have somewhat of a problem, but hopefully it's all going to be great. But we're working with China, just so you know, and other countries very, very closely, so it doesn't get out of hand. But it's you know, it's sometimes, it's something that we have to be very, very careful with, right? We have to be very careful. On February 2nd, he said, we pretty much shut it down coming in from China. On February 4th, he said, we are coordinating with the Chinese government and working closely together on the coronavirus outbreak in China. My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from the threat. Let's go down to March, where this really started to take into effect. Gallup just gave us the highest rating ever for the way we are handling the coronavirus situation. The April 2009 to 2010 swine flu, where nearly 13,000 people died in the U.S., was poorly handled. As of today, around 300,000 people have died from the coronavirus, and he said himself 13,000 people died from swine flu. Anyone who wants a test can get a test on March 6th. That was not true. So his quotes, and he said on March 17th, 4 days after we went into lockdown, we're getting rid of the virus. And I'm sure I don't need to mention to you that Washington Post interview in which he told Bob Woodward, a journalist, off the record, that he wanted to play it down so that he could alleviate public fears about the virus, and secretly knew that it was not even comparable to your strenuous flu. So he was spreading misinformation on the podium in which he's supposed to inform the public. He also said that he would halt funding of the World Health Organization, the WHO, that's largely responsible, along with the CDC, for guidance when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic and what to do about it. Obviously, this could have been handled differently, and it's the fact that we are in the situation right now that is deeply, deeply disturbing to me. Actually, on April 17th, 2020, there were 38,000 deaths. And let's go back to this. In March, he said himself, there were only 13,000 There were 13,000 deaths. There were 13,000 deaths from swine flu, which was a mismanaged virus. So this must be extra mismanaged if there's 38,000 deaths now, close to 300,000. It's interesting how Republican members of Congress are just now starting to wake up to the fact that he's been a disaster his whole career. He tweeted on April 17th, "Liberate Michigan," after protesters, well, not really protesters, rioters, I guess you could call them, weird demonstrations, where they took their AK-47s to the Michigan State Capitol, and some of them even schemed killing Gretchen Whitmer and kidnapping her and taking her to Wisconsin, the neighboring state. So what we're seeing here is obviously a pattern of Donald Trump being irresponsible, but the fact that Republicans are just waking up to the fact that he, I don't know, has a problem. That's interesting, considering the fact that he said there were good people on both sides of a neo-Nazi attack, considering the fact that he started the longest government shutdown in American history for a wall that wasn't really working. Proof that this wasn't going to do anything. Proof that majority of illegal immigrants come and overstay visas, but he doesn't want to talk about that because his rhetoric is racist, and that's what gets his base riled up. So the fact that Lindsey Graham just woke up and is getting applause is ridiculous to me. Lindsey Graham has been a firm supporter of his for 4 years. Don't come back and say you were wrong and expect praise. Don't come back and rebuke Donald Trump and expect praise because you stood with him for 4 years. So there is an obvious, it's obvious that you intended on, staying with Donald Trump if he was able to win the general election. You know? So Donald Trump is and always has been a failure. But the fact that Republican Congress people that used to be loyal to him are now coming back, or Senate members are now coming back and kind of distancing themselves from him. It's funny to me because they stood by him, and when their place of work is attacked, but when people on the streets and in lines for food banks all across the country, they said his coronavirus response was impeccable. It was great. It was amazing. And didn't encourage masks, leading to more people dying. 300,000 people dying. When, again, he said 13,000 died of swine flu. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Twin Political Podcast. I assure you that there will be the two twins that you are obviously anticipating to be in a episode sometime in the future. Thank you and good night.